The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, join Sheila Walsh and Dr. David Jeremiah as they pull back the curtain, revealing the mysteries of heaven by answering some of the most popular questions people have.
And here's what I heard. I had a little girl write me a letter. She says, I don't know why you keep asking, are animals in heaven? She said, when Jesus comes back at the end, he's riding on a white horse. And if horses are in heaven, dogs must be in heaven.
Amen.
I'm not sure about cats, but I'm pretty sure about dogs.
Hello and welcome to Life Today. Well, I know that you're used to seeing me just sitting here on the set by myself, but when I realized I had the opportunity to interview one of my favorite people on the planet, I jumped at it. I've read so many of Dr. David Jeremiah's books, and I have to tell you, the one that we're going to talk about today made me cry. Not from sorrow, but from absolute joy, understanding what's ahead for every believer who loves Jesus. So I just want to say welcome to the show. I'm so glad. Yeah. This is an incredible, incredible book.
Thank you.
What made you write down everything about heaven?
You know, I've been doing this pastor thing for a long time.
Yes,
and,
you have. And
you get some questions about heaven. Mm-hmm. You begin to realize that people don't really know very much about heaven. I've said, you know, people spend more time planning a two-week vacation than they do getting ready to where they're going to spend eternity. and so all these questions started accumulating. And they were questions I had never seen in a book where people had. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd write a book on all the questions nobody else is asking about heaven. And that's what we did.
But it's fantastic. I mean, I even put a little thing out on Facebook asking people if you could ask Dr. Jeremiah anything about heaven, you know, what would it be? And one of them is actually in your first chapter, like, is heaven a real physical place?
Yes. On the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a
place
for you. Yeah. Not a dream or a figment of your imagination or whatever. Heaven is a place.
How many heavens are there? I always thought there was two, but I stand corrected.
No, there's three heavens according to the Bible. In fact, when Paul was caught up to heaven, he said he was caught up to the third heaven. So we have to figure out what the other two are. And the first heaven is the atmosphere where, you know, we fly our planes in the atmosphere. Then there's the celestial heaven, and that's where the stars and the moon and the sun are. And then the third heaven is above that, and that's where God is.
Now, anytime people talk about heaven, they point upward. Hmm. Do we know that heaven's north?
Well, that's a big deal. I remember when I was working on that, somebody said, well, yeah, but north is different depending on what part of the world you're in. But what I know from the Bible, Ephesians says that he ascended to us.
Yeah.
And over in the Gospels, we read that Jesus came down. So heaven is up.
Yeah.
We know that.
What for someone who dies before the rapture, where are they at the moment?
Well, you know, that's a really important question. That's one that's most often asked, Sheila, because especially when people lose somebody they love, it's very confusing to them because they hear that they've gone to heaven, but then they go to a funeral and they see the body and they go put the body in the grave and they don't understand. Mm-hmm. But the scriptures are very clear. Here's the best way to say that. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. In other words, when we die, our body goes in the grave, and our soul and our spirit go to be with God. In the resurrection, those two commodities are going to be joined together again. But when we die, our body goes in the grave. So it is true. When you lose a loved one, if you're a Christian and you go to the funeral, your brother, sister, mom, or dad, they're not there. Yeah. It's just the house they lived in while they were here.
In regards to the rapture, what happens to those of us who are here on earth at that point, and what happens to those who've already died in Christ?
All right. One of the things that's really misunderstood about that is that only the people who died first get a makeover. You know, everybody gets a makeover. The Bible says that we will be changed to be like the Lord, and those who die first before Christ comes back, they're in the grave. They actually take precedence over everybody else. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, for we shall not precede them. In other words, they're going to go up first, and on the Bible tells us on the way up, they are going to be changed like unto the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection body. Over in Philippians, we are told that those of us who are alive and remain, we're going to get that change too on the way. So I think the chapter in my book was the extreme makeover. Everybody's always spending so much money. One day it's all going to be done and done right, and we won't even need the makeup artist that helped us get ready for this show. They'll be out of business.
We sure need her now. Yes,
we do.
So with my mom and dad, who've both passed, will they go ahead of me to heaven?
You know, here's the beauty of that. I don't think they will see the ultimate heaven in any precedence over us. In other words, the Bible says that those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Who are them? The ones who have already died. Mm-hmm. And then we will be ushered into ultimate heaven together. My mom and dad are in heaven, but they won't see heaven as we will until we all see it together.
That's marvelous. It's just marvelous. One of the questions I got on Facebook, and I totally understood it because I used to think this myself. This girl said, I'm glad I'm going to heaven because it's better than the alternative. But what are we going to do for all those millions of years? Will we be bored?
Well, everybody, you know, that's the ancient reason why people, you know, you hear guys, I've witnessed so many guys, I'd rather be with my drinking buddies and all that. You know, I'm going where my friends are. And that's such an ignorant thing to say. But heaven is not going to be boring, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, God isn't boring. Yeah. God would never create a place for those he loves that would be boring for eternity. And believe it or not, you and I are not going to be boring, because before we get there, we're going to be changed.
Wow.
And when we get there, heaven will be a place where we serve. The Bible tells us his servants will serve him. It's a place where incredible worship is going to take place. We're going to have assignments to rule and reign, just like in the millennium. And heaven will be a time where we can serve as long as we want and we'll never be tired.
Gosh, isn't that amazing?
Doesn't that something?
That's beautiful. Will we recognize one another?
Absolutely. We know that for instance, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when those three guys showed up from a different world, they were known. Everybody knew who they were. When Jesus came out of the grave, he was in his resurrection body, and Mary knew him after a few moments.
Yeah.
She knew him by his voice more than anything else. So, there's, you know, if we can't remember, we aren't we aren't a person.
Yeah.
When we get to heaven, we'll remember the people, we'll know them, we'll be known by them, and we'll know them as we have never known them before.
Wow. Somebody asked me a question that was very heart-stirring. She said, I have miscarried two children. Mm-hmm. Will they be in heaven? Will I know they're my children?
Well, let's just stop and think about that for a moment, Sheila. If you believe, as we do, that a child becomes a person at the moment of conception,
absolutely,
then that person is as viable a person as anybody else. And if that child dies before it is actually born into the world, it is still a living person. And that child, because it obviously didn't have a chance to understand the gospel, will be covered under the blood of Christ, and it will be in heaven. Most people don't know this about us. We have four children, but we have five because we had a miscarriage right at the beginning. It was very, very... people don't think that's a big deal. I can tell you that's a big deal, especially if you haven't got any other children.
Yeah.
And we had wanted children for quite a few years before we had them. Then all of a sudden we got them all at once. But but this baby was miscarried. I'll never forget it because we miscarried that baby on the day that my grandfather died. And I had to make the decision as to whether to go to the funeral of my grandfather or take Donna to the hospital. Mm. And that baby is there. We've never met that baby. We don't know that baby, but someday we will.
When Christian was 2 years old, I miscarried. And I can't wait to think that one day that I'll get to meet that little one. What's the difference between the Great White Throne and the judgment seat of Christ?
Well, the difference is a lot of years, for one thing. Mm-hmm. The great white throne judgment doesn't happen till the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the millennium. The judgment seat of Christ happens immediately after the rapture, and it's for Christians only. Here's the best way to remember that. The judgment seat of Christ is a place where no unsaved people will ever be. When you stand before the judge at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not to be judged for your sin, but to be judged for the works you've done in your flesh as a believer. And it's not even a judgment for good and bad as much as it is the rewards are given, and it's how have we served the Lord? Have we served him with all of our hearts? The great white throne judgment takes place clear at the end of the millennium, at the end of the 1,000-year reign. And that's a place where no Christians will ever be. Wow. Only unbelievers will be there, and that will not be a, that will be a very sober time in the history of the world.
What are some of the rewards that, because I often think there's so many people out there who get very little recognition on this earth, but have faithfully served Christ.
And you know what's
lives.
Really interesting, Sheila? A lot of Christians I meet think that rewards shouldn't happen, that you should just serve Jesus and not really care about a reward. But the problem with that is rewards are everywhere in the Scripture. And so God knows a lot more about us than we think he does, that we are motivated by rewards. There's a soul winner's reward. There's a reward for those who love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's five rewards that I know of, and I've written about them in the book, that we're candidates for, most of us. And if we serve the Lord with a pure heart and a desire to honor him, one day we're going to get these rewards. And the beauty of it is we won't keep them long. The Bible says we'll take them and throw them and cast them at the feet of Jesus as our way of worshiping
wow.
him.
You call them the heaven's Oscars.
Yes.
I love that idea. But you say the ultimate goal is that we give them, because that really helps me, because I always thought, what do you do with rewards in heaven? But if they're simply to be thrown back at the feet of Christ,
and just imagine
that's a beautiful
this.
Thing.
Suppose you are a Christian and you've wasted your life and you haven't, you know, I know people like this. They're Christians, I know that, but they're not living for Christ. They're living for this world, and they don't have any time to do anything to serve the Lord. And they're going to stand there that day and watch people bring the rewards and cast them at the feet of Jesus, and they won't have anything
to give.
Wow. I sure don't want to be in that spot.
No.
I want to be able to worship the Lord that day with joy.
Mm. Somebody asked, well, if every believer, you know, from the beginning of time, I mean, how do they all fit into heaven? I mean, it's going to be, and how are you ever going to see Jesus? Because there's going to be so many millions and millions and millions of people.
Well, we're going to have better bodies and better awareness. And as far as where are these people all going to fit, you know, the Bible describes the city of the new city is it's 1,500 miles wide and it's 1,500 miles long. And it's 1,500 miles high.
Wow.
Heaven, the city, the holy city is going to be a place of many levels. If it's 1,500 miles high, you could have 1,500 stories a mile high.
Wow.
And somebody has, I mean, I've read all the statistics on how this is going to happen and says, how are you going to get around? Well, you know, when Jesus came out of the grave in his glorified body, he no longer was veiling his attributes, and he was able to move through doors. He was able to be in one place and then another place. He suddenly appeared. I don't know how that's going to work, but with this huge city, you'll be able to move about in different places, and the Lord Jesus will be available to us. Here's something that I taught a couple weeks ago that shocked everybody. I've been doing a little series called What You May Not Know About Jesus.
It's a great title.
And here's what you may not know. When in heaven, Jesus is in his body. He went up in his resurrection body, and the angel said, this same Jesus who was taken up from you will come in like manner.
Wow.
And so that means he is in heaven right now in his humanity. And I remember reading, God loves humanity so much that he allows his own son to live in humanity at the right hand of the Father. So when I pray today and I ask God to help me through Jesus Christ, I'm actually talking to Jesus, who is still in his humanity, even though he is in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Now, that's something most people don't know about Jesus.
No. Yeah. And will he still be marked with the marks of crucifixion?
Absolutely. That's what's so beautiful about that. When you see him, you'll be able to see the scars in his hands and in his feet, and the marks of your redemption will always be available for you to know what he did so that you could be there.
Why do you think he chose to rise with those marks? I mean, he could have left those behind in the tomb. Why do you think he kept? The only scars in heaven will be the scars of Christ.
That's right. And, you know, he understands how desperate we need to be reminded of this. In fact, isn't that what communion is about?
Yeah.
Do in remembrance of me. And so those scars will always be there as a motivation for worship, I think. When we see his scars, we will worship him as never before.
Wow. I got a question. Actually, it was just last weekend where I was out when a young guy, probably, I don't know, 14 or 15, said, when I gave my life to Christ, my mom told me that my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can anything ever erase that?
Christians cannot be erased from the Lamb's Book of Life. It's impossible for that to happen. I mean, somebody probably want to argue with me about that, but I believe that when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, when the Lamb's Book of Life is an interesting little story because it's different than most people think. In the Roman and Greek cities of Bible days, they had a register of the people who lived in the city. They were in the city's registry. If they were convicted of a horrible crime or if they committed murder, their names would be taken out of the list. So the Book of Life in the New Testament, the Book of Revelation, basically it's a book in which every name is written of everybody who has ever born. And if they get to the end of their life and they haven't received Jesus Christ, their name is removed from the Book of Life.
Wow.
That's different than most people think, but that's what the Scripture teaches.
In Revelation 21, there's always been something I've never quite understood. It says that the sea will also be gone. Will there be no sea?
You know what? You and my wife.
Good Donna, company with Donna.
Donna loves the ocean. And one
me
day
too.
When I preached on that, she said, you know what? I was all excited about heaven until you told me there wasn't going to be any ocean. Well, I don't pretend to know all what was in God's mind for that. But we need to remember there will be water in heaven. The Bible says there's a river that flows from the throne of God all the way to, and it's bordered by the 12 trees of fruit trees. And it's a beautiful scene when you read about it. But, you know, 75% of our world is ocean water,
wow.
Salt water. And salt is a preservative. When you get to heaven, you don't need that anymore. When you get to heaven, you don't need the preservative in the ecological system. God's ecological system will be perfect, and there will be water, and I'm sure you and Donna will be able to find a place on the shore.
To paddle.
Yeah, right.
Okay, here's the question I really want the answer to. Are my dogs going to heaven?
Are your dogs going
yes.
to heaven?
Yes.
Well, you know, I could tell you something. We put that on the internet at Turning Point. It got more hits than anything we have ever
surprised.
Done. Do animals go to heaven? And here's what I heard. I had a little girl write me a letter. She says, I don't know why you keep asking, are animals in heaven? She said, when Jesus comes back at the end, he's riding on a white horse. And if horses are in heaven, dogs must be in heaven.
Amen.
I'm not sure about cats, but I'm pretty sure about dogs.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to tell you how to get hold of Dr. Jeremiah's book, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. Every question you have ever asked, or even those you didn't even think to ask, are in there. But before that, I want to show you some people who are reaching out for help right now. And maybe they're not looking for the ocean. They're just looking for clean water. Would you watch this? In the driest regions of Africa, there's often only one place to find water, deep underground. So deep, in fact, that it takes two people a full week of digging to reach it. Well, despite their efforts, these hand-dug wells aren't deep enough, and the water remains unclean, causing widespread illness from waterborne diseases. And recently, we learned of another danger we did not expect.
One put a mashukumukan. Some decasam, It's an unimaginable tragedy, a mother's worst nightmare. And yet, the reality surrounding Mercy and her family, the utter lack of safe water sources, demands that they live with the risk.
I don't want one more mother to go through, you know, what Mercy has gone through. But this is something that you and I can do something about. This did not need to happen. And that's why we're here. She's not asking for a lot. She's just looking for a place to send her children to actually get, for the first time in their lives, clean water. I will never, ever, if I live to be 120, forget that woman, Mercy. After we'd talked for some time and she told me about the unthinkable thing of her beautiful daughter, who she said was one of her best friends, used to help her around the house, falling into that well. And I mean, I looked into that well. They're filthy. They have snakes in there. They have mosquitoes. The water is filthy. And I can't imagine as a mom looking in and there's your child. And I asked her how long it had been, and she said it was just a few months. And I asked her, have you been back to the grave since you buried your child? And she said, no, I cannot go. But after we and our team spent a few, you know, some time with Mercy, she asked me one of the most profound gifts of a question I've ever been given. She said, Sheila, would you walk with me to the place where I have buried my daughter? And I will never forget it. I mean, as we got closer, I almost had to hold her up. And then we got to the little mound where her beautiful girl was buried. And we both, as mothers, shed a lot of tears. But here's what you might not understand about these women in Africa. They work so hard. I mean, she gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning to walk, you know, maybe like 2 hours to try and get some water from that filthy hole, because it's all they've got. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, maybe they're just used to that. What mother in the world would ever, ever be used to burying a child? And the thing is, they're not asking for a new iPhone. They're just asking for clean water. And we can do this. So it's our commitment this year to put in 350 wells in over 20 nations. I mean, I wept with many mothers on this trip in Africa, but I also got to watch as a fresh well was drilled down and clean water spurted out for the first time. And I'll never forget the joy on children's faces to be able to have, maybe at 14, the very first glass of clean water you've ever had in your life. So that trip changed me. I will never forget these mothers, and we will never stop until every village has access to clean water. So please, will you help us? For $48, that will provide clean water for 10 people. $144 provides clean water for 30 people. And you know, we can actually put one of these amazing wells that will last for about 70 years. It goes down 3 levels of water, and then it's encased, so nothing could get in. We can do that for $4,800. And that will literally give water for lifetime to a whole village. And with any gift at all, we will send you Dr. Jeremiah's book. And even as we rejoice in what awaits us in heaven with Christ, let's make sure that there's a lot of people who understand that God heard their prayers and we're coming. So please, will you give the very best gift possible? Call that number on your screen. This is something we can do to change the lives of people all over the world. Let's do it in Jesus' name.
Today, a mother living in extreme poverty will do the unthinkable. Give her children dirty, disease-filled water that she knows could kill them. With no other choice, what's a mother to do? With your help, clean water is on the way. Mission Water for Life is the answer to a mother's prayer to save the lives of her children, to offer them a bright future free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $48 will help provide water for 10 people. $72 will provide for 15. $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. And a gift of $4,800 will help sponsor a complete well, serving up to 1,000 people. With your gift of any amount today, we'll send you Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. In one comprehensive book, Dr. David Jeremiah presents scriptures, references, and insights that will give you a better understanding about heaven and the glorious future God has planned for you. You'll get real answers to questions like, what will heaven really be like? And will our friends and loved ones know us?
I have to tell you that Dr. Jeremiah is one of my spiritual heroes of the faith. I love the fact that he works so hard, digs so deep into the Word of God. If you've ever had a question about heaven, this book will answer every single one.
This is the last day to receive Dr. Jeremiah's book. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
This is the water. This is the only water that is available to this village where we have been spending some time. And honestly, as a mom, it totally horrified me to see little ones just scooping this water and drinking it immediately. I mean, you can probably see it's absolutely filthy. But I feel here that one of our main passions at Life Outreach is that God has called, it's in our DNA, to be a voice for those who have no voice. And so that's why I'm coming to you and saying to you, we can be the answer to their prayers. So please, will you help us right now? Will you dial that number on your screen? Go online, just give the best gift you can. You know, give up one thing that you don't really need to give these people the one thing they really, really need: fresh, clean water. Thank you so much. If the lines are busy, please, please, please keep calling. And remember, for any gift at all, we will send you this phenomenal book, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. Dr. Jeremiah, it's always a joy to be with you.
Thank you
so much for this great gift.
Thank you very much for letting me be here.
It's been awesome. So thanks for being with us, and we will see you next time on Life Today. So for James and Betty, I'm Sheila Walsh saying, God bless you. Bye-bye. See you next time.
Mustn't go back to our separation in our individual lives to where we don't care, we don't reach out.
Next week, Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.